Welcome everyone to a new episode of The Tap. I am your host, author Andrew Hess, and today we are doing the King of the Ring countdown. I'm actually going to do two episodes today. And the reason why is because, truthfully, the first one of these sucks. So I'm covering 1995 and the 1996 King of the Ring. Now, you may be asking me again, why am I counting down the King of the Ring? So, WWE had announced that the next Saudi Arabia show was going to be at the end of May. It was going to be the King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown tournaments. And that's what it was supposed to be. But apparently, that's not what is going to happen, or maybe it is, and it's just now something else. Like, I don't know what's going on. They renamed the whole event now Night of Champions. Now, Night of Champions was a pay-per-view that WWE used to do where it was every single title is on the line. I don't know what they're doing when it comes to this. I don't know if they're putting every single title on the line. I don't know if they're still doing the King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown tournaments. I don't know. But I'm going to continue doing the King of the Ring countdown because I had already started this. And I don't go ahead and change my format or what I'm doing based on what WWE wants. So here we go, 1995 King of the Ring. This was by far, in my opinion, the worst King of the Ring pay-per-view and tournament ever. First off, you had the final qualifying match for the King of the Ring done on like the free-for-all or whatever the heck their pre-show was before they ever brought in Sunday Night Heat. It was Savio Vega getting the win over IRS Erwin R. Scheisse. This is IRS is, I think, third. I think it's his third King of the Ring tournament that he's in. And loses yet again, this time to Savio Vega. Didn't even qualify technically for the tournament. So then they show that first, and then they actually kick off the show. At least this is when it comes to the watching it on the network. So we kick off the show, and they go straight back into Savio Vega, his next match. Now, if Savio Vega just beat IRS, it didn't make sense to then have Yokozuna face Savio Vega right as the show opens. It just didn't make any possible sense. But nonetheless, Savio Vega actually gets the win over Yokozuna by count out. There's a whole lot of stuff going on at ringside. Razor Ramon's in Savio's corner. You had Mr. Fuji and Jim Cornette in Yokozuna's corner. And you have it where basically Yokozuna gets runs into the ring post and gets himself counted out. He's not able to get up in time. Savio Vega advances. The next up is the Roadie taking on Bob Crash Sparkplug Holly. Now, Bob Holly at this point was not a big name at all. And even people who are listening might not remember Bob Holly. They remember Hardcore Holly. They remember Crash Holly. But this was Bob Holly. This was Bob Sparkplug Holly, where they wound up before he was Hardcore Holly, he was a quote unquote race car driver turned pro wrestler. It wasn't a big thing then, it never got over. I don't know why he was in this King of the Ring tournament. His opponent is the Roadie. Now, again, the Roadie is a virtual nobody at this point. People do know who he is. If you looked closely enough, you realize that he was one of the Armstrong brothers. He's Brian Armstrong. And we later come to know him as BG James, the Road Dog, however you want to call him. He was managed by Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett had been ousted by the in the tournament at the time. in the qualifying match, but the roadie somehow advanced. The roadie was the lackey for Jeff Jarrett, and the person who actually ended up singing With My Baby Tonight that Jeff Jarrett had lip sung over. Roadie actually gets the win over Bob Holly to advance. So now we have Savio Vega versus Bob Holly and in your semifinals. Next up, you had Shawn Michaels versus Kama. This is before he became Kama Mustafa, and then Mustafa, and then the Godfather. Prior to him being Kama, he was Papa Shango. Yeah, that's the lineage of this guy. These two were people that actually you could see being in the King of the Ring tournament. Shawn Michaels had done it at all. And Kama, I mean, obviously, again, he was Papa Shango first, and now he comes in as Kama, the Supreme Fighting Machine, who was managed by Ted DiBiase, who was essentially kind of like a hitman for the Million Dollar Corporation. It made more sense for both of these guys to at least be in the tournament. Savio Vega did make a little bit of sense. Yokozuna made a little bit of sense, but Roddy and Bob Holly, no. Shawn Michaels and Kama end up wrestling to a time limit draw. It was a 15-minute time limit, and end up going into a draw. The final, I guess, quarterfinal match was Mabel getting the win over The Undertaker. This is again thanks to help from Million Dollar Corporation. Helps to take out The Undertaker. Mabel gets the win. Mabel, because Shawn Michaels and Kama wrestled to a time limit draw, both eliminated. So now Mabel goes straight to the finals. He doesn't have to wrestle a semifinal match. The actual only semifinal match ends up being next. Savio Vega getting the win over the Roadie. You had again Razor Ramon at ringside and Jeff Jarrett both at ringside, to kind of add some additional tension into it all, but. Again, Savio Vega wasn't really a known person. He was semi-known. That's why they had Razor Ramon continuously at ringside with him, because he was a virtual unknown, and putting Razor with him in his corner put some sort of spotlight on him. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Savio Vega, but I'm saying at this time, in 1995. Savio Vega advances. He will take on King Mabel in the King of the Ring finals. Next up, you had Bret Hart getting the win over Jerry Lawler in a Kiss My Foot match. This rivalry has now gone on for 2 years since the 1993 King of the Ring. It's lasted this long where you've had Bret Hart and Jerry Lawler going at it. You've had Bret Hart taking on Hakushi because Hakushi was getting involved in this for the longest time. This feud still continues after this because now Jerry Lawler made it where it was just like they kept making these vignettes where he was making his foot like the dirtiest, filthiest foot possible for Bret Hart to then have to kiss if Bret Hart lost. Bret Hart ends up winning the match, shoves his foot literally into Lawler's mouth, and then makes Lawler kiss his own dirty, disgusting feet. This ends up bringing in Lawler's next henchman, essentially, Dr. Isaac Yankem, DDS, who ends up eventually becoming the fake Diesel, who eventually becomes Kane. So this is the prelude to all that and bringing him in. Mabel gets the win over Savio Vega to become King of the Ring. He will now be referred to as King Mabel, and Mo from Men on a Mission will be known as Sir Mo. This was a waste of a King of the Ring, in my opinion, because they did nothing for Mabel. The only thing that they did was put him in a title contention against Diesel eventually. Speaking of Diesel, He walks in as the WWF champion, teaming with Bam Bam Bigelow, who had just been recently ousted from the Million Dollar Corporation, gets the win over Tatanka and Sid Vicious, or Sid Justice, or Psycho Sid, or whatever the heck you want to call him. Bam Bam Bigelow had been ousted from the Million Dollar Corporation after what happened at WrestleMania when Bam Bam Bigelow lost to Lawrence Taylor. This was viewed as a complete disgrace, and basically they kicked him out of the Million Dollar Corporation for not getting the job done against a football player. Bam Bam Bigelow starts to now debut brand new music, a new entrance, new ring attire. They kind of made him more like comic book superhero type of like feel to it, because that's what Vince McMahon did during that time. Everything was supposed to be like flashy and fire and, like all geared towards kids. Meanwhile, this is supposed to be the new generation, the new attitude of everything. And this is just very comic book. You now have it where, so as I was saying, Diesel and Bam Bam get the win over Tatanka and Sid. Diesel ends up actually hitting the jackknife powerbomb on Tatanka and goes for the pin, but then picks him up and says he wants Sid. And Sid basically just backs away, refuses to get in the ring, refuses to do anything, completely walks out of the match, leaves Tatanka to fend for himself, where Diesel then just ends up dropping an elbow on him and pinning him for the three count. Such an anticlimactic win. And that ends up being the rest of the show. There's nothing else that ends up happening. There wasn't this was not a good match. This wasn't a good pay-per-view in the least. You had potential for some things, but your King of the Ring tournament was very lacking. And then you had just a couple of like BS matches. You had literally a Kiss My Foot match, which no one really wanted to see two grown men forcing each other to try to kiss each other's feet. And a tag team match that has the world champion, and it ends in like the most anticlimactic way possible. I mean, literally, you just had it where Tatanka was already laid out from a jackknife powerbomb. You're taking your time, and then you're sitting there and you just drop an elbow on him, and that's enough to go apparently get the win. I really just like I said, I think this was probably by far my least favorite King of the Ring. And in my opinion, it was the worst. I will flat out say it. In my opinion, I think this was the worst one. I think that they started to get even better after that, because I guess once you hit rock bottom, you have nowhere else to go but up. But WWE actually had started to, at the very least, get better with their programming. And that kind of brings me to the 1996 King of the Ring tournament, which is probably one of the most iconic endings to the tournament ever, which we're going to get into in just a little bit. And the opening match is exactly why you're going to hear it. Stone Cold Steve Austin, right before he becomes Stone Cold, gets the win over Mark Marrow via the stunner. Austin actually ends up having to go to the hospital after this match, because he ends up getting Mark Marrow tries to do some sort of roll up where he hooks his ankles underneath Austin's arms to roll him backwards, and as he does so, he kicks him straight in the mouth. Yeah, that, and you could see like he was busted, his lips was busted open pretty bad after that. So he ended up having to go to the hospital to get stitches. Mero is now eliminated from the tournament. You now have your other semifinal match, because they weren't doing quarterfinal matches at this point. So they went straight into semifinals. was Jake the Snake Roberts getting the win over Vader. Now, Vader, I expected to be in the tournament. I expected, when they had Jake the Snake as kind of like his redemption tour type of thing that he was trying to do, which, hey, by all means, it was fine. It was fine for that time. And he did a good job at doing redemption. But what I didn't like is that the ending for this match, you had it where Vader came charging in, and miss. You have it where Jake the Snake Roberts is hitting the DDT. You could have had him just lose because of the DDT. It's put away so many people before. But you had Vader pull, like grabbing the referee as he's going down from the DDT, and the referee just disqualifies him. It made no sense. And so now Vader's disqualified. Jake Roberts gets to advance, and then Vader just starts beating the heck out of Jake the Snake after the match. So now Jake is all bandaged up for later on in the night. And your finals are now booked for Austin versus Jake the Snake later on that night. All right. Next up, you have the tag team title match. The Smoking Guns with Sonny retain the tag team championships over the Godwins. This is just one of those meh matches. And don't get me wrong, Billy and Bart Gunn were very good athletes. Obviously, Billy Gunn had been around for a long period of time after all this. The Godwins were around still for a while too, which was their longevity within the WWE was actually a bit surprising to me. And looking back in their time, because really, you would never really think that the pig farmers would outlast so many other people within the WWE during that time. But they did. This is also in the time where Sunny kept on flip-flopping teams. She had been the manager of the Body Donnas, Skip and Zip, who Zip, I believe, was Tom Pritchard. So they were the tag team champions, who then lose it to the Godwins. So after losing their return match to the Godwins, Sonny ends up basically convincing Phineas Godwin that he was in love with Sonny, or using his infatuation with Sonny, to allow her to then manage the team. Hillbilly Jim was still at ringside. Henry Godwin wanted nothing to do with her. Hillbilly Jim wanted nothing to do with her. And then she ends up costing them the tag team titles against the Smoking Guns, who at this point just turned heel. Made it where Billy Gunn ended up making out with Sonny, which caused the distraction. And this is how they lose the titles. Sonny immediately ends up going with the Smoking Guns. I thought that this was for Sonny, it made sense. It did. It made sense for her because that's how she was. She was always, they made her out to be this gold digging wench. And hey, she played the part perfectly. So, any which way, in this match, and this feud continues, mind you. After the Smoking Guns beat the Godwins on this, where she helps to get cause the distraction, Bart Gunn lays out Phineas Godwin with one of the cowboy boots, allowing Billy Gunn to pick up the win. This feud still continues because you have it also in here with the Body Donnas bringing in some guy dressed up as Sonny and calling him her Cloudy. And I'm not trying to say that to be to really mess up with anything. It was it I don't know. It was a very confusing situation back then, and even now it's still a bit of a confusing situation because obviously the guy doesn't identify as a woman, didn't then, but it was just that the WWE made it look like that. And I think it was more of the Body Donnas trying to mock Sunny and qu get under her skin with it all. That they could go ahead and replace her with a guy that looked like her. But again, this is WWE. This is what they found amusing and comical, but that's not a comical situation to really put into that. In my opinion, I think it's a little bit more insensitive, especially when you look at na today's day and age. Next up, you had the Ultimate Warrior getting the win over Jerry the King Lawler. Quick match, Warrior gets the win. This is actually his last pay-per-view match ever with the WWE. He's released from his contract shortly after this. They actually end up booking for the next pay-per-view. It was supposed to be a six-man tag. Vader, Owen Hart, and Bulldog versus Ahmed Johnson, Shawn Michaels, and Ultimate Warrior. But because Ultimate Warrior missed several house shows, they released him from his contract. And he was never seen again in the WWE until the WrestleMania weekend when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And then he died a couple days later. Next up, you and what was it? What was even more interesting with that whole six-man tag is when they did replace Ultimate Warrior, they replaced him with Sid, who was a notorious heel. Apparently, he was just starting to kind of go onto the baby face side of things a little bit again, who was also Shawn Michaels' bodyguard going into WrestleMania 11. Now it's at post WrestleMania 12, which is weird. And just everything kind of gets a little confusing, and they just kind of keep tossing things up in the air. Next up, you had Mankind getting the win over Undertaker via TKO, a technical knockout, thanks to the mandible claw. This is the beginning of, it's still the beginning of their feud. You had Undertaker, who was just getting attacked by by Mankind constantly at post-WrestleMania, and finally you have a match, and you're expecting Undertaker to beat this new guy, Mankind, who's Mick Foley. Like, everyone knew him as Cactus Jack. Like, it wasn't really that weird. Like, it wasn't that unknowing for everybody. Like, anyone who knew who Cactus Jack was knew that he was Mankind. So seeing like him in this new persona, a lot of people did expect Undertaker to bury him, and Mankind just really kept taking it to the Undertaker. This was a feud that lasted for several months, probably, I mean, really even longer than like several months. I feel like that this really went on from, like May, I want to say like May of 96, all throughout, what was it? Maybe even it was past Survivor Series. I don't even know when exactly it ended. I think it just kept continuing, to be perfectly honest with you. If memory serves me right, I mean, you had this kind of go on even past on and off after WrestleMania 13 too, if memory is really serving me correct. I think it was past WrestleMania 13 that they continued this all the way up and through Yeah, sometime late 98. So maybe this is really, when you realistically look at this, you're looking at it years, not even just months at this point. Next up, you had the Intercontinental Championship match. Ahmed Johnson retains the Intercontinental Championship over Goldust. This was just a very bizarre match. Bizarre spoke volumes when it comes to Goldust. Yeah, it was definitely a weird one. The finals of the King of the Ring tournament, Stone Cold Steve Austin gets the win over Jake the Snake Roberts and then delivers the most infamous King of the Ring speech ever. Talk about your John 316. Austin 316 says, "I just whooped your ass." Austin 316 is born that night and made the whole world turn upside down. Finally, you have the WWF Championship match. Mr. Perfect is actually supposed to be the special guest referee, but Gorilla Monsoon makes it where he is the special referee for outside of the ring. Shawn Michaels defends the title against the British Bulldog. Owen Hart is doing commentary, who is Bulldog's tag team partner. Shawn Michaels does end up getting the win. And then right after the match, Owen Hart jumps in the ring and starts attacking Shawn Michaels. Shawn is actually doing a good job at defending against both of them until the numbers just got the better of him. He starts getting taken out. Ahmed Johnson comes in to make the save. He starts t tossing around Owen Hart and the Bulldog. Out comes Vader. Vader's about to go and really squash Shawn Michaels by he's about to jump off the top rope onto him. And out comes the Ultimate Warrior, shoves Vader off the top rope, comes in, lays out Owen Hart and the Bulldog, and clears the ring, now setting up that six-man tag that I was referring to earlier. That Ultimate Warrior ends up never being able to wrestle in because he gets released from his contract. So, you've had now the worst King of the Ring tournament and the most infamous King of the Ring tournament. Only time will tell what to show you what ha else happens in the King of the Ring pay-per-views and these tournaments going forward. Until next time, I am author Andrew Hess, and this has been The Tap.